Coming up on the show, the Klingons are here. Also, Hannibal Lecter is coming to Cable. And the Dink is in X-Men, and we might know what he's playing. All this and so much more, plus super special guest. This is FXL, episode 34.
Talk nerdy to me.
My calculations are correct.
Welcome to Fanboys XL.
Don't cross the streams.
Warning, warning.
You are now listening to
the Fanboys XL podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Fanboys XL Podcast, the podcast for everything geek and nerdy and pop culture today. I am your host, Bob Fournier, and joining me on the other end, the man with the world's largest shoe collection? It's none other than Rick Piven.
What's going on, Bob?
Hello, Rick.
I'm going to let you know now that my allergies are in full effect.
Excellent.
Because it keeps getting warm and then cold and then warm and then cold and plants don't know what to do, so there's pollen in the air, and my allergies are kicking my butt.
Oh, that's terrible. Terrible.
Yes. So, not speaking of allergies.
All right, here we go.
Today's fact. Some intestinal viruses can remain in the air after you defecate and flush the toilet, and can cause infections if inhaled or swallowed. Think about that one, Bob.
I'm not going to think about it.
Think about that while you're peeing in a public bathroom.
I'd rather not. Stop it. I'm going to, instead of me thinking about it, because I'm about to fall over from it, let's introduce our special guest for the evening. He's known as the busy zombie lord to some. To others, he's known as Lou Page. He's the man who's been known to say things like... Lou Page, how are you?
Not too bad, guys. How you doing?
Good. How do you feel about that? Defecation in the air.
I feel like I may have contaminated way too many people.
That's gross. Way to start the show, Lou. Grossing people out. I don't even want to think about that fact because it makes me nervous. We know how I feel about public restrooms, as it is because of you, Rick.
Well, yeah, it happens.
And speaking of air-related problems, we'll get into an email later in the show, but I think you're getting a following of people. Lou Page. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Fanboys XL. How are you tonight?
Not too bad. Glad to be here. Very glad to be here.
Ah, we're glad to have you. What have you been up to lately?
Well, besides doing Zombies Ate My Podcast with you guys,
yeah.
I've been writing an article for a website called Games Are Evil. I'm doing a look back on old video games called The Vault.
Oh,
and
cool.
I'm part of a rotating cycle of writers that are doing that article.
Oh, so nice. you're writing for them then? On the it's gamesareevil.com?
Yep, gamesareevil.com, and I'm one of the Vault writers. We have a rotating schedule every week.
That's cool. So you get to do old school games, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, my last article was on the old Wing Commander games for the various platforms, Super Nintendo and PC and Mac and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was, and those games have a really long history, so I had to do a lot of research.
I bet, yeah. Those games weren't really that fun either, from what I remember. You do a lot of writing online, don't you? Don't you write for the guys, or you used to? I don't know if you still do for the guys over at the Gamers Inn.
Yep, I still do a blog about there about once a month.
That's awesome.
I dig up old indie games and cheap stuff that I find in bargain bins.
I like that. Well, you heard it here, maybe not first, close to second or third. Go to gamesareevil.com and search for Lou's articles in the vault, and check out his blog on Gamers Inn. People can follow you at what, Busy Zombie Lord?
Busy Zombie Lord on Twitter.
On the Twitter.
Yeah, and I just jumped into gamesareevil.com. You have to go to features and then columns and go to the vault, and I am now reading something done by Lou.
Yay, Lou Page. We're going to do, I think I can do this. We can do this. It's going to be,
Woo!
That's awesome. But seriously, guys, check it out on gamesareevil.com. Lou is a fantastic writer. But we also have a lot to talk about today. And I'm not even going to lie to you guys. I misplaced the news bumper.
And I'm great.
I'm going to replace it with this.
Getting down and nerdy with the news.
a little bit of a dirty Coltrane. So
nice.
First story we have up on the chopping block tonight is the Klingons.
Yes. Klingons. Worf.
Now, the Klingons were originally in the first one, but they got cut out, correct? In the first
anyway. J.J. Abrams just talked to MTV recently, and he said, we shot some of the stuff that had Klingons in it and then ended up cutting the scenes. So it's a deleted scene on the DVD, but they're back on this movie. Their role is definitely adversarial, and you'll see how it plays out. But you don't have to know about any pre-existing stories to watch this film.
That's good, because I don't know about them.
The only thing I know about Klingons is that they have ugly foreheads.
Yes, they do.
And Fu Manchus.
Yeah, they all have to. Lou, are you a Star Trek fan?
I am a huge Star Trek fan. Oh. I've been watching it since I was about 6.
We probably should have had you on the show a little bit before this. Because every week Rick and I have been like, I don't know much about Star Trek, but this is cool.
Do you think they'll have Michael Dorn play Worf again?
I don't. Though there was talk a while back they were going to have give him his own TV show in the last year or two.
There's still
talk about that. Are they? Because I know they were going to shoot a pilot.
He was interviewed on The Nerdist a couple months ago, and he said that they're still talking about it, where he's like in charge of a fleet, and it would be the Worf TV show.
Worf. Lou, are you happy there's Klingons in the new Star Trek? Do they play an integral role in Star Trek? I don't know.
Yes.
They do.
In the original series, the Federation was at war with them, and then in the movies, when they brought the movies with the original Captain Kirk and all of them, they were at peace with them or trying to negotiate peace with them. And that tended to be what the plots of all the movies were about.
Oh, so I would imagine that a lot of fans are going to be happy to see the Klingons in the movie as a more prominent part anyway.
Yeah, and aren't Klingons kind of like a military race? Like they're very into war and stuff.
They're into war, and even the command on their ship can be contested by a crew member by a battle to the death.
So I'm wondering if this whole the guy who Cumberbatch is playing coming to Earth and stuff, I'm wondering if the Klingons either come to the aid or if he brings the Klingons down to fight for him.
I have a funny feeling it's going to be him using the Klingons as a pawn to get the Federation to do something.
Yeah, nice. As long as he's not Khan.
I have to say, if this photo in this article is what the Klingons look like, they're having a very different look than they did in the original series.
Yeah, I was trying to look, and I can't see a lot of it, but it definitely it's not the Worf, I guess I would call it.
They look like, well, I guess they're wearing masks, and from the look of it, it has the ridged forehead that's like covering it. I'm wondering if this picture is like just like test footage.
I'm curious. I can't wait to know more.
Right.
Oh, it's gonna. I think a lot of people are gonna be really happy about it. And I don't know. We'll go from, like I said, I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, so I was kind of like, Klingons, that's cool. I don't know much.
Right.
But we can get into a little thing that I do know a little bit about, which is Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Season 2, buddy.
Now, Rick, you watched season 1, right?
I watched season 1. I thought it was awesome. I didn't like the lack of like powers and stuff, and like how Scorpion was just like a regular dude. I do like the trailer for season 2. It looks amazing.
Lou, I also want to play this.
Get over here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Lou, did you watch this trailer? Have you seen season 1?
I have seen season 1. I did not watch this trailer, though.
Oh, but my God.
My only concern is that it sounds like they're bringing back several characters from the original first season, but they're being played by different people, which always weirds me out.
Some of them are, yeah. They're a little different, but there's a lot of some not big names, but I would say some pretty good names in this movie. And the whole plot itself, and like Rick was talking about, too, is they have a little bit more in the power category.
Yeah, they have. It shows at one point it shows Sub-Zero creating the ice ball to shoot at Scorpion. It shows Liu Kang throw a fireball. Scorpion actually looks like Scorpion now.
Yeah.
Instead of just a Chinese dude with a regular mask on.
Yeah. This, I mean, I liked season one. I thought it was really interesting. A good take on a web series, kind of. This season looks like it's going to be so badass.
And they added a bunch more stuff. Like in the last season, like Raiden was in it real quick. Like they had characters kind of in it, but in this one they added Liu Kang, Kung Lao, Kenshi, and Ermac. Yeah. And Ermac has always been my favorite ninja aside from Sub-Zero. Like Ermac was always my favorite extra one that they added in because Sub-Zero has always been my favorite Mortal Kombat character in general. But Ermac's badass.
Ermac is badass. I was a Scorpion player. I like Scorpion. Lou, you play Mortal Kombat?
I did. I've played them all.
What's your character of choice?
Sub-Zero.
He's a huge favorite, huh?
I love Sub-Zero.
It was so much fun to freeze people and then just annoy them. That was my my way of playing. Oh, you're frozen. Now I'm going to go off and play in a corner and make fun of you.
Well, this trailer really kind of solidified it for me. Was there a date on here, too, of when Season 2's airing? Because it looks amazing, and it's going to be a lot of action from what you see in the trailer.
I don't see a date anywhere in the article. Let me skip to the end of the trailer real quick to see if there's anything, but I don't think they did.
I don't think they did either.
It just is coming soon on Machinima.
Yeah, and like Rick said, like you see a quick peek of it. It looked like Sub-Zero fighting Scorpion. He goes to make the fireball, and Scorpion kind of tries to do that thing where he teleports.
Yeah.
It looks like they have a bunch of powers. Liu Kang at one point is beating someone up with a gun, which was pretty cool to see too.
Yeah, and the best thing that none of us have talked about yet is the guy playing Shang Tsung is the guy from the first movie who played Shang Tsung.
How
awesome is that?
I saw that and I went, is that Shang Tsung?
awesome is that?
Shang Tsung?
That never happens either. That play them in movies never carry over into TV shows.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty awesome.
If you also notice, the guy who plays Kung Lao, Liu Kang's cousin, is dude from American... Food Network, chefs. They have a secret ingredient.
Iron Chef, America.
The Iron Chef America guy who takes a bite out of the apple.
Oh, that's why he looked familiar.
He's an actor. Like, that whole thing is an act. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
In Double Dragon, the worst video game movie ever made.
Apparently also in Cradle to the Grave. I never saw that one. Yeah. That's crazy. He looked familiar, and I was trying to put my face. I'm like, what is that? What did I see him from?
Okay.
But yeah, it was the food show with the secret ingredient.
Yeah.
So we'll stay tuned. We'll keep an eye on that to see if we get a release date. Oh my god, this is probably the thing I'm looking forward to the most.
I mean, for a web an internet TV show, it's gonna be great.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But let's get into a little trailer promo that we saw. We have
first. For a show that I don't want to watch.
A lot of people are saying it looks good. It's supposed to be on NBC on April 4th. It's Hannibal.
Yes. It's the guy who's playing Hannibal is the dude from Casino Royale that cries blood.
Yes.
Which weirds me out because that guy's creepy looking.
He is. He would make a good Hannibal, though.
But I don't know.
I think that's the idea.
I don't know how they're going to play. Like, it's going to be obviously based on Agent Will Graham, which was Edward Norton in the movie.
Yep.
It's going to be based on him with Lecter as like helping him solve cases, but how much Lecter are they going to show? Cuz the show's called Hannibal. It's not called Will Graham.
Go ahead, Lou.
I was going to say from the Hannibal books that I've read and the films I've watched, they do discuss in, I believe it's, what's it called? The Dragon. Red Dragon. They do discuss that Will Graham did work with Hannibal Lecter to catch serial killers in the beginning of the book.
But
they didn't know that he was killing people himself.
Okay, because that's what I see here is like he's enlisted the help of Hannibal, but he doesn't know he's a serial killer. Only we do.
Right.
Okay. Huh, that should be interesting. I don't know. I never really followed the Hannibal series. The only thing I'm excited about is Gillian Anderson's in it. I don't know if that I should be watching it for that. What's she been in lately, you know?
British stuff.
X-Files.
that wasn't that long ago. But it will be good to see her on the small screen again.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Ooh.
I don't know what I mean. All right, let's move along to one of Rick's favorite movies, Riddick.
I love the Riddick movies.
I know you do. I wasn't being sarcastic.
And I got super sad because today I was listening to the new episode of Adam Carolla, and they do a thing every now and then called What Movies Not to Watch on Cable Tonight. And one of them was The Chronicles of Riddick. And I was like, oh, that movie's good. It's super cheesy and sci-fi, but if people like Stargate and shit like that, it's the same, you know, it looks like the same company who makes it. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was the best movies that Vin Diesel's done.
Well,
yeah. I really liked Pitch Black. I wasn't a huge fan of Chronicles of Riddick. It was okay, but it wasn't.
Chronicles of Riddick was super sci-fi compared to Pitch Black. But this new one is supposed to be a lot like Pitch Black.
Yeah, and I was a big fan of Pitch Black. It's actually going back to the R-rated film, too.
Which is good. Yeah. And I think that's why Chronicles of Riddick suffered so much, because they went PG-13, so it had to be less violent, where the first one was R, and it was just creepy. It was a horror movie and a sci-fi movie, and Chronicles was just a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, and I'd like to say that it doesn't matter. Like, the story should be what brings you to a movie, but in a movie like Pitch Black, where you're watching it, you expect violence and blood.
Right.
And, like, with Chronicles of Riddick, like you said, when they didn't do that, it was kind of like, I like the violence and blood. Like, I need that back. And I hope this does it. And this isn't going to be a huge studio movie, it looks like, either.
No, I thought for a while that Vin Diesel was funding it himself.
Yeah, I guess they, I don't know who funded it, but they said it's definitely a smaller scale, but it looks like a big movie.
Right.
Which could make it even better. They're talking about going back to the roots of Pitch Black here. I think that makes us all excited.
I think that that's what it needed. I think Riddick itself, when they did Chronicles, it was too big. They were telling too big a story. They need to keep it simple.
Yeah, Pitch Black's one of those movies, if you haven't watched it in a long time, you could probably pick it up and watch it again and enjoy it. Chronicles of Riddick, not so much. So let's just hope that, I don't know. I hope they do it right. I'm a little worried when they're doing it themselves and they say it looks big. But it does make you kind of nervous, you know, because you want it to be good.
Right. I hope it's good. But then again, like I said, I liked Chronicles of Riddick. I like they even made a cartoon movie that took place in between Pitch Black and Chronicles called Dark Fury. And it was animated in the same style as one of the animations from the Animatrix. I don't remember which of the artists it was, but it was in the same style as that. And that was pretty badass, too.
I never even knew that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll have to check that out.
I own it. I like it.
Well, speaking of Vin Diesel... Dwayne Johnson.
That's a terrible transition.
Dwayne Johnson, the man with forearms bigger than me.
He looks so big now.
He does. And I'm wondering, too, because he says Hercules is a passion project. He wants to do a movie Hercules.
Yeah.
He is doing a movie Hercules. I'm wondering if that's why he's so friggin' big.
Well, did you see the trailer for Pain and Gain? The new... movie he's in with Mark Wahlberg.
Yes, yes.
They're bodybuilders, so I think that's why he got big.
Yeah, but he's...
Plus, he's back into wrestling again, too.
I heard. And, like, I don't watch wrestling anymore, but I can only imagine what it's like.
I haven't watched wrestling in, like, fucking 6 years.
Lou, what do you feel about The Rock playing Hercules?
I have to say, I love The Rock. I love all his movies, except for a few really bad ones. But I'll watch them if he's in them just because I like him. But the thing that I'm afraid of with this is it says that this new Hercules movie might be directed by Brett Ratner.
No.
I don't know if you guys know who Brett Ratner is, but he's the guy that did the Rush Hour movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes me afraid.
He did X-Men The Last Stand.
Which was
yeah.
the bad one.
Yep. He did Horrible Bosses, which was... You know, it was kind of a decent comedy.
Yeah.
He has a tendency to make things that he wants to be funny too funny. And then things that he tries to do with drama, he makes them have too much humor in them for them to be dramas.
The only two movies he was in that I liked was Southland Tales and was it Walking Tall?
Yeah.
Walk Tall?
I think it was Walk Tall or something like that.
The one where he was he beat the people up with a 2x4?
Yeah.
I thought that movie was really good, too. It had Johnny Knoxville in it.
Yeah, it's the doing what The Rock should be doing.
Right? I thought those two movies were good. The rest of them I haven't really seen.
The Rundown was worth it.
Oh, yeah, The Rundown. That's the one with Stifler, right?
Yes.
I remember people by characters, not by their real names. But, like, the Tooth Fairy one, the one where he plays, like, football, but he's a babysitter. Like, that's not interested in any of those.
He went on a Disney spree for a little while there.
Well, it pays the bills.
It does. I would imagine it pays a lot of the bills.
I think he'd be good in this Hercules movie, but Brett Ratner definitely scares me, like Lou was saying.
Yeah, exactly. But if you say to me, I need to cast Hercules, who do you got? By pictures of...
Kevin Sorbo.
Yes! He's still around, right?
He was Hercules.
Yes.
Arnold's still around.
I used to watch...
Arnold's Conan. He can't be Hercules.
I used to watch Hercules.
Hey, he did do Hercules in New York.
He did Hercules in New York?
It's one of the... It's the first film he ever made.
No wonder why I haven't seen it.
And there's two versions of the film. There's a version of the film where his accent is so thick they refuse to air it. So later on they re-released it as a director's cut with his real voice. But the original theatrical version had him dubbed over the whole movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of the worst films you'll ever see. But it's so much fun to watch.
Now I kind of want to see it. I would say, though, Dwayne Johnson, I could see him playing a Hercules role. I don't know if it's just the Scorpion King coming out or not, but I could see it. It wouldn't be that bad. Director-wise, I think it needs a new director, but we'll see where it goes from there. But anyway...
I got to agree.
Yeah.
Let's get into Under the Dome, the new Stephen King show coming out this, what is it, June?
I can't wait.
June 24th. We got a casting here.
Yes.
Breaking and Bad.
It's a good cast.
It's very good. Dean Norris from Breaking Bad has joined the cast. That is amazing. I love this actor.
Yes.
He's a good fit, too.
Yeah, he's going to be playing the douchebag of the story.
Yes.
Which will be cool because he looks like read that book again now and you'll be able to picture him the entire time.
Yeah,
he looks like that, like what you anticipate that character being. I mean, he's a used car dealership guy, he's a town councilman, and he pretty much takes over the town after the dome comes down.
Yes.
And that actor plays a really good bad guy. So it won't be hard for him to fit the role.
Oh, he just, and like Rick was saying, he's got the look of DB written all over him, you know what I mean? And like him playing Big Jim in this show makes me even more excited for this show. Like, I can see that so well. Oh, I'm so excited about this cast.
Such a good book.
It is. I was actually about to reread it until I realized it's the size of 14 Bibles.
Yeah, if I wasn't recommending something awesome later on, I would recommend people to read
it. I don't know. You can switch it up. I don't think anyone would have a problem.
Well,
I did the audio book.
It's so long, but it's so good.
I did the audio version, and I had to take breaks where I would listen to it for like an afternoon and then be like, okay, I'm not going to listen to this for like a week because this is way too much book.
Was the audio version like, 72 hours?
I think it's 60.
It's over 1,000 pages.
Oh,
God. It's a huge book, but it's so good.
It is amazing. It's one of those books.
So it's in like my top five favorite books ever.
Yeah, it's one of those books too. You feel accomplished when you read it because you're like, I just read the biggest book in the world. But yeah. B, you're done. You're like, what an amazing book. Like 1,000 pages seems like enough. You know what I mean? Like,
you'll never guess the ending.
Oh, absolutely.
Never in a million years will anybody guess the ending before it happens.
I know, and I we can't spoil it. It's coming on TV. I don't want to spoil it, but I could talk about that ending for like days.
So I guess we can all agree that we all recommend people read Under the Dome.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be the Fanboys plus Lou Page recommends this week. Go read or listen to if you have 14 weeks. Under the Dome. It's such a good book.
Yes.
Speaking of good books, Spawn.
Ah, love Spawn.
I read the headline and it said, still talking about that Spawn movie.
I love Spawn.
I went, really? And then I read that it's still him just talking about Spawn.
Yeah. I mean, Todd's always wanted to make a good Spawn movie. I liked the Spawn movie. I thought it was good.
I liked the animated series.
The animated series on HBO was badass.
That was good.
I loved that, too. And I think with the technology they have now, they could make an awesome Spawn movie. Because you watch that the Spawn movie they made, and... I think the actors were perfect. I think The story was perfect. I think it just looked cheesy as hell.
And that's too much rubber suit.
Too much rubber suit. Not enough comic book Spawn. Like the red cape wasn't just flowing everywhere like it was alive, and he didn't have like the giant red boot on one leg and the giant red arm on the other leg. It was just a black suit with like some maroon on it. And it wasn't great. John Leguizamo, amazing as the clown, though.
Oh, I forgot he was in that movie. Amazing. That was so good. Yes.
Now, he has his moments in film.
Yeah.
Like Lady in the Water? No? Anyone? No.
I didn't see Lady in the Water because M. Night Shyamalan should be shot.
I forgot that movie as soon as I finished watching it.
I saw Sixth Sense, liked it. I saw Signs, liked it. I saw The Village, and I swore him off my life.
Oh, my God. Let's not to get off track, but you know, I was like, that's for a different show.
The Village looks badass. The Village looks like it'll be a good movie. Oh, this is pretty cool. They're in like a little – they live in the woods, and there's monsters outside. Oh, the monsters are fake? Oh, they live in an area surrounded by a wall, and on the other side of that wall, it's now?
Yeah, exactly.
A Jeep goes by. I'm like, what the hell happened?
I
prefer Unbreakable.
Unbreakable's good. Unbreakable's a very good Shyamalan film. But when we're talking Spawn, Todd McFarlane was quoted as saying, I continue to write a page here and there, and I've said before, I've got a guy waiting on the sidelines, Academy Award winning actor who phones every 3 weeks saying, where's the script? And him saying, oh, a few pages here and there, doesn't sound convincing as when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. But the interesting thing here is they're speculating that the actor interested in the role is Jamie Foxx.
That would be cool.
I can see that.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I guess it's from previous interviews. Jamie Foxx has shown interest in making a Spawn movie.
Yeah. The thing that kills me is they're up to like issue 240 or something like that. You can't tell me that they can't come up with a movie script that's decent.
Right.
Like, come on, just grab like the first 20 issues of the comic book and make that into a movie. How hard is that?
They could. They could easily do that, and that's why I don't have a lot of faith in this movie ever coming out with Todd McFarlane doing it.
But he also says he has his
hand in too many plates.
Oh, yeah. He's got too much sports stuff going on. Like, I used to buy Spawn figures. I used to get emails from his websites and see, like, the new figures that come out. He hasn't made a Spawn figure in, like, 5 years. It's all sports and The Walking Dead and Halo. That's it.
Yeah.
What happened to Spawn? What happened to the things that gave him his money?
He makes what sells, and Spawn's not selling anymore, so sports is.
Yeah. Spawn's not selling anymore because he doesn't even work on the comic book anymore. Yeah. Other people do. But I do like that he said that if they do make the movie, they're also planning on making another animated TV show to go alongside with it.
Yeah, that was probably the best part about it, is like kind of an in-between movies thing.
Yeah.
And he was saying that they'd be able to do a lot more good stuff, better than the HBO one. And he made it sound like the HBO one wasn't good, but I thought it was great.
I thought the HBO one was great. What I don't understand is why don't they just go the way of DC Comics and just release straight-to-video animated movies?
They could make a killing with Spawn.
I mean, those DC movies are amazing. They're better than any live-action DC movie that I've seen in a long time. Why don't they just do that? Why don't they just make it animated? Because it's a comic book. It's already a cartoon.
Yeah, I could see, and then there's such a Spawn cult following that thing could sell.
I have the Spawn logo tattooed on my leg.
You like Spawn?
I love Spawn.
Apparently.
Lou, I don't know what you think about this, but the Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D., hopeful tone. What do you think of this? We haven't had you on the show before. Have you heard about the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show?
Oh, yes. I've been following it since it was announced.
Are you very excited about this, like everyone else in the world?
I'm excited, but I'm still iffy. They haven't sold me on it.
Really?
Because they're saying Agent Coulson is going to be part of it, but he's dead. So what are they going to do?
They damn well better have a good excuse for bringing him back to life.
I know, right?
And then as they keep talking about villains and things being part of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they're not. They keep saying, oh, yeah, that we might have a few characters here or there, but that's not going to be the focus of the show. And to me, that would be the focus of S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. taking down a bunch of super bad guys that superheroes don't have time to take care of. So I need to see it before I'm sold.
I think S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying to fill the void of Fringe, now that Fringe is gone. And I think that's what it's going to be like. I think it's going to be like Fringe and like CSI combined.
That's a very good comparison. That's probably the best way to look at it, is it's going to be like Fringe, because they say in this new article, it's not really about good versus evil kind of superhero kind of stuff. It's more about working together to solve things.
Yeah.
I can imagine it being just like Fringe.
Yeah, and they also talked about they're going to have some like people with superpowers and stuff, but they're not going to go crazy. And like there may be cameos, but you know that if Iron Man makes a cameo, it's going to be as Tony Stark. It's not going to be as Iron Man, because they don't have the money to do that on TV.
No, they can't.
Right.
They can't.
So.
And even Maria Hill there, Smulders there, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Her set time is going to be minimal because of How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that was kind of like I thought she was going to be kind of on the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought she was going to play more of a main character, but hearing that, I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. We'll see what happens with it, but
maybe she will once they hit a second season, because isn't How I Met Your Mother wrapping up this season?
I believe this is their second to last season.
Then again, that's also putting a lot of faith in the TV company not canceling S.H.I.E.L.D. like every other Joss Whedon show.
He's got a very good track record so far.
he has. I know his track record isn't good, but if the show is a tie-in to those films, I think it has a better chance of a second season.
Well, here's the problem, though. You have a lot of nerds and geeks that'll watch this show like us, but a lot of people that saw The Avengers aren't really nerds. They just wanted to go see a great action superhero movie. They might not be interested in a TV show based on that. You know what I mean?
People are going to watch this if people like us tell them about it.
Yes.
This is what it's going to be like. Like, my mom watched The Avengers. She loves those comic book stuff. I guarantee she's going to be like, S.H.I.E.L.D.? The hell is this? I ain't going to watch that. It looks dumb. Yeah. And I'll be like, oh, you got to watch it. It had Iron Man in it, and they're fighting bad guys from the comic books. It's not as crazy as the movies, but it's still really good. Then she'll go watch it.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's going to be. I mean, just look at the following that Firefly has.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, like, if there's a show that got canceled too early. Or maybe just put on in the wrong time, I guess.
Right. Possibly.
Yeah. We'll see. The
episodes were also aired out of order.
You know what, Lou? We don't need this. Joss Whedon doesn't need this from you right now.
Well, it wasn't his fault. That's true. It was the network's fault.
Where did that premiere? I don't even remember. I don't care.
It's on Fox.
It was on Fox.
And it premiered on a holiday.
Well, thanks for the information, Lou. Glad you have all that stored away. We'll see where S.H.I.E.L.D. goes from here. We'll also hope it gets a second season, I guess. And for the love of God, will someone explain to me why Coulson's still alive?
I don't know. I think we talked about it at one point. There was a rumor that he was going to be the Vision.
Yes, there was a rumor. I want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait till the first episode finally comes out before I figure it out.
Yeah, and it would also be weird because the Vision is red. It's red and green, and he's in a giant yellow cape. And he's a robot, yes. So I don't know.
We'll see. It'd be funny to see him in red all the time, though.
Right.
Oh, speaking of red, The Amazing Spider-Man. You know who hasn't seen it?
Sam Raimi.
Lou, have you seen The Amazing Spider-Man?
I have not. It's on my Netflix queue, but it hasn't come yet.
Don't worry, Sam Raimi hasn't either.
Yeah. Would you watch a movie that was better than the movie you made?
No, I don't know.
Yes.
But he compares it to, I can't go to my girlfriend's wedding. And I like that line. And I don't think he's being mean about it. I think he's sincerely upset that this new reboot is way better than his was.
I really liked his original first film.
It was amazing. But, it was great.
But afterwards, it was like each consequential film got worse than the last.
I thought the second one was great.
It had moments, but I didn't love the whole plot thing.
I liked the first one. The second one was all right, and let's not even talk about the third. But I love the new one by Mark Webb. Absolutely love the new movie.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was an amazing Spider-Man movie. See what I did there?
But terrible, Bob.
I know, it was awful, just awful. I also like how I love how Sam Raimi says, I'm a big Mark Webb fan and a giant fan of Emma Stone. And of Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
A little creepy there.
Just a little. Bill, have you noticed that directors kind of have that thing where, like, they're a really big fan of some female actress and they go out of their way to say it, and you're like, yeah, that's kind of creepy. And it's not just him. Who was it that did that? What's his name? That does Bad Boys and Transformers.
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay, hasn't he done that with several actresses? Where he talks about how big a fan he is of some female actress.
I don't know. I know he got Megan Fox off of Transformers, so I thank him for that.
Speaking of that, I have angry, it's sudden news. It's not in our show notes.
Okay. Is this breaking news?
It's breaking news. Megan Fox is playing April O'Neil in the new Ninja Turtle movie.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
The fuck is that?
We might have to stop the show here because I got to sit down for a minute.
I'm looking it up right now. I read it today. It's confirmed that she's going to be in the Michael Bay Ninja Turtle movie. I'm reading it on IO9 right now. Even though Michael Bay kicked the living mannequin Megan Fox off his Transformers set, it looks like all the drama is just water on the bridge. Bay has cast Fox to star as April O'Neil in his Aliens Turtles movie. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Which means now we also have to see a terrible actress blonde.
Oh, great. That's just awesome.
Well, a redhead.
Redheaded, yeah.
Reddish brunette, kind of.
With a bright yellow clothing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's terrible news.
Right?
That movie is going to be the largest piece of trash ever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Thanks for ruining my night, Rick.
Not a problem.
Train wreck on the way.
Yeah. And not a problem. We can make the news better, though, with the dink.
We can. Peter Dinklage's role may have been revealed in the new X-Men Days of Future Past movie.
I love Peter Dinklage.
Oh, who doesn't love Peter Dinklage? Lou, are you a fan?
I am a huge fan.
Excellent. They're talking about him being the guy that pretty much created the Sentinels.
Yeah, he's going to be Bolivar Trask.
Yes, I could see this.
Oh, definitely. He's the one that like creates the Sentinels that end up taking over the world.
Yeah, and I love Peter Dinklage. He could be anyone in this movie, and I'd still be excited.
Well, I heard the rumors he was going to be in it a couple weeks ago, and all I kept thinking was, who are they going to make him play? Who are they going to make him play? And then when I read this article, I was like, ooh, that's a good fit.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And this is all speculation. It's all speculation. There's no confirmed this or that, but it's really the only part that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, the other thing, too, that I read... I think I read it today. Another breaking news story.
Oh God!
they talked to is it Bryan Singer who's doing Days of Future Past?
Yeah.
Yes.
They talked to him about the fact that he can go back and fix a few things because since it takes place in the future and in the past, because it's a rumor that Cyclops and Phoenix are going to be in the movie. And he said he has the ability to go back and fix a few things that might have been screwed up in previous movies, i.e. The Last Stand.
Really?
So yeah. He can wipe out that whole piece of trash that I went to see three times so I could scream at the screen?
Yes.
Three times?
Yes. Don't know why you go see it three times, although I do own it.
I said
it's X-Men. I love X-Men.
Yeah.
I don't care how bad the movie is.
I sat through it the first time and went, that wasn't as awful as the critics made it. And then I got home and I went, that was atrocious. After it sank in, I was like, that was the dumbest movie I've ever seen. It can't be possibly as bad as I remember it is.
It's almost.
So then it's almost, I went back and saw it two more times to make sure it
was bad. It's almost like eating something that's so boiling hot. You're like, it's not that bad. And then the aftertaste gets you like, okay, it's a little spicy at the end there.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie was terrible, but... This Peter Dink, oh, that's actually really good news from Bryan Singer. I like Bryan Singer. That should be interesting. And I also like Peter Dinklage. So no matter what role they cast him in, which I'm sure is going to be this role, being an anthropologist and stuff, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and it's funny that a little man makes giant robots. Kind of ironic. It's kind of the whole Napoleon syndrome.
And you know what though? It almost makes sense to a point. You know what I mean? Like, if he's that, I don't want to sound mean, but if he's that, like you said, it's the Napoleon thing. He's that small. He's going to make something the most gigantic thing he can ever do.
Right.
But, yeah, well, that'll be interesting. And speaking of games? Game of Thrones? Is that what I was going for?
Game of Thrones actors doing other things in Marvel.
Other than Conan.
Conan wasn't horrible. It wasn't great. It had a horrible story. But if you want to watch something with action that you can just turn your brain off to, I'd go watch it. It's on Netflix streaming. Why not?
Yeah, if you're already on Netflix.
Yeah, I watched it. It wasn't terrible.
Jason Momoa. I don't know how to say his name. Momoa.
I think it's Momoa.
Is it Momoa? He's been cast in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes,
as Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah.
Now I believe in the comics he was first in Iron Man or something like that, wasn't he? First introduced.
I don't remember when he was introduced, but I love that they have the little background they have on the website is a former saxophonist, Arthur Sampson, Art Douglas, and his family were killed by the Eternal Thanos.
Yeah.
While driving across the Mojave Desert, Kronos received Douglas' astral form and used it to create a superhuman warrior for the purpose of defeating Thanos.
Yeah, he played
the saxophone.
He did. That's the most important thing to take out of that. He was a sax player. I remember reading comics and a lot of info on Drax the Destroyer, how him and his family died by Thanos. The spirit goes out. He's supposed to kill Thanos. I remember him battling, like, Captain America at some point, too,
in one
of the comics. And it's weird. It's a weird... I could see it in Guardians of the Galaxy. He eventually was in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I think what they need to do for his background as him as a former saxophonist is just play the scene from The Lost Boys
with
the guy who looks like Shawn Michaels playing a saxophone shirtless on a beach. It'd be perfect.
You pulled that reference out of nowhere.
But I have to say,
the weird thing is I remember that.
Oh, yeah, everyone remembers that scene.
Lou, what were you going
to
say? Sorry.
I have to say, I love Marvel. And I love all the superheroes and stuff. But whenever they start doing space and alien stuff, that's when it kind of starts to lose me. So I'm worried that Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be a lot of stuff that's like way too far-fetched for a mainstream audience to understand.
Oh, come on. A talking tree and a talking raccoon?
Yeah, exactly.
Possibly Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler? Come on, that's great, right?
Oh, God. Oh,
and
God.
This like, oh, I'm a little raccoon.
What do you think of casting Jason Momoa in this movie as that Drax the Destroyer role? I could see it.
Oh yeah,
it looks like him in the artwork.
It does. Yeah. I could see it. Only he's green.
and a robot.
And slightly a robot, but more importantly, green.
Slightly a robot. He is a robot. They put his astral form into a robot.
They did. And it was weird, too, because I remember over time when he started working with the Guardians, like, I think he lost a lot of his powers at some point, too. I don't remember exactly. It's been a while since I read any of this, but I remember him being super strong, being able to fly and do all this crazy stuff when he was fighting Captain America. And then I remember at some point in time, he lost some of his powers. Like, he couldn't fly. He wasn't as strong. He wasn't as resilient kind of stuff. And that's when he started fighting with them. I can't remember, but I just remember reading about Drax the Destroyer for a while.
Yeah,
but I like the cast, and I like this. I liked him in Game of Thrones. I like this cast now. I did like him in Conan. Conan wasn't bad, but
I haven't been able to break myself into watching it. I love the original too much.
He plays a mean sax. That's for sure. Plays a mean sax.
Looks like Shawn Michaels.
Looks like a little bit. Looks a little bit like Shawn Michaels. I'm gonna get a sound file for that. All right, let's break it into some Star Wars news. A lot of talk over the past couple weeks was Harrison Ford signing on to Star Wars, not confirmed by anyone. I don't know where this came from, but everyone was like, oh, did you hear Harrison Ford just sign on to the new Star Wars? Oh, who, did Disney say that was okay? No. Well, well, how do you know? I guess in a later thing, too, do you think he's going in?
I will be surprised if he is.
Really? It all depends on the story.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, it all depends on... Because for him to be in it... I mean, have you seen him lately?
Oh, yeah.
For him to be in it, episode 7 needs to take place 50 years after episode 6. At least.
Yes.
At least. And what's going to kill them about that is, in like the books that take place after it, he has kids with Leia. If he's Grandpa Solo, then his kids are going to have kids, and that's not in the book.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the story's going to be, but...
My other concern is it's not just him. Have you seen Mark Hamill lately?
Rick and I talked about it a couple weeks
Mark
ago.
Mark Hamill's face got hit with a shovel.
He's also put on a ton of weight.
Oh yeah, it's he's the new Yoda.
Oh, he used the Force.
It's Roly Poly Skywalker.
Yeah. But you. And of course, every time you hear him talk, all you can picture is the Joker now. Yeah. So he's going to be talking, and he's going to be like, "Batman."
Mark, you got the line wrong.
Like this isn't a Batman thing, Mark. This is Star Wars. You're supposed to do Star Wars things with your lightsabers. You're like, "Where's Harley Quinn?"
Harrison Ford's
going. A sword belongs in a museum, Dad. It's wrong movie.
He walks in without any pants on. Have you seen my pants?
Yeah, where are my pants? And Carrie Fisher's just coked out laying on the floor going, "I don't know, where's my gold bikini? I can't wear it anymore."
J.J. Abrams just walks off a set. He's like, "What is this?
I can't do this anymore.
Why did we get Star Wars?
What just happened?"
Literally, the old Republic.
I didn't know Luke was playing Jabba.
Oh, God. Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, my mouth hurts. I don't know. I don't see Harrison Ford signing on it. I know. I guess he said a little while back he wasn't too into it, and if he wanted to, there was some stipulations. When Return of the Jedi was being made, he wanted his character killed off anyway.
We called the dog Indiana.
Thank you, Sean Connery. You're worse than Harrison Ford. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know what part he's going to play. I'm just trying to think of if he's going to be an old Han Solo teaching his kids.
So I don't know about any of that Force hokum.
I'm hoping that when they do 7, it takes place way further in the future, and that way they can all just be either like
dead.
Yeah, or that they can be kind of like a admiral somewhere that makes a cameo and that be it.
That's kind of probably the best way to put it. It's just like one quick scene of them.
Yeah.
High-fiving each other or something. I don't know. The only good news is with Star Wars right now is John Williams hopes to score a new Star Wars films.
He's like, "Hey, remember me? I made all the music for Star Wars. Please hire me back."
Yeah, he said no one's confirmed it or talked to him about it, but he'd be up for doing it.
He's also getting really old. I think his birthday was like 2 weeks ago, and he's like in his late 70s, early 80s.
Really?
Hey, Stan Lee's 90, and he's still rocking it.
Yeah, well, kind of.
Yeah.
He's not all there either.
That's me.
Obviously, you want John Williams to score it. I mean, the movies wouldn't have been the same without his music playing. You know what I mean? But it sounds... And he's like, even in this quote... He's talking about how, like, he's talking to him, he's like, "Oh, we're about to play Star Wars," and the audience interrupts with cheers. He's like, "Every time we play it and everything," I'm like, okay, you've done a lot of other good music too, but I guess Star Wars is where we'll go. And it just sounds like he wants them to ask, you know, like him going out and saying, "Yeah, I'd love to do it if they just reached out and told me to do it. Anyone? Please."
The thing too is it's still so early in the development. I'm sure the last thing they're thinking about right now is music.
Oh yeah, but even the guy from Yoda would do it.
So, little side note: for some reason, I clicked on a little ad on the side of the screen, and it's got a list of things you didn't know about Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay.
Rocky, the guy with the little gold underwear,
yeah,
has no belly button. None.
Weird.
Why don't we get into what we recommend this week?
Incoming recommendations.
Really, no belly button at all?
I don't see. Yeah, the picture shows literally no belly button.
That's weird. Can you? I guess you could be born without a belly button, right?
Yeah, you can. It's there's a way that they can snip your umbilical cord so that you don't have one, but it's considered a weird. Cosmetic thing, so that's why we all still have them.
I don't have a belly button.
I got mine taken off a while ago.
I removed that shit.
That was bothering me. All the lint stuck in it.
Right?
It always smells funny, too.
Oh.
One step too far, Lou.
Lou, you should probably take a shower. If your belly button's stinking all the time, you should probably take a washcloth for that. A little soap.
Take
care of yourself, Lou.
Not to go out of too far out of the way, but have you ever been in the shower and been like, "I gotta wash my belly button"?
I usually wash my whole body in the shower. But I don't.
Do you ever spend extra time on the belly button?
And then go eventually. Like, I don't remember if I washed my belly button. Maybe I should wash it this time.
Maybe. Did I wash my belly button today? I don't remember. Let me smell it. Loops. Oh, Rick, let's stop talking.
Let's go on to better subjects.
Yes. I don't know if this is better, but what do you recommend this week for people?
This week, I am recommending people, everyone out there, goes on Netflix and watch Ticked Off Trannies with Knives.
Sounds serious.
It's research for the soon-to-be newly launched Murder Basement.
Yes.
With all new co-hosts and possible guest reoccurring co-host Bob. This movie is ridiculous.
Is it bad?
I'm going to read the synopsis.
Okay, I want to hear it.
A group of trannies are violently bashed and left for dead. The surviving ladies regain consciousness, confidence, and courage, ready to seek out revenge on the ones who attacked them. It's terrible.
Is it?
It's so terrible that they tried to make it a Grindhouse film, and it's missing sections of the movie.
Really?
Like, this chapter is like chapter one, chapter two, and then it goes to chapter five. Like, it's got a thing that says this part of the movie is missing. And, like, suddenly shit's going crazy. People who are dead are now alive, and it's just weird.
I've seen that on Netflix, and I've just been like, what?
Scared. Yeah, I've seen the cover. It keeps being browsed past when I'm looking on Netflix, and I'm like, that looks so bad, even I won't see it. And that says something.
Oh, dude, there's so many other movies. I think we're going to watch Sand Sharks.
You know what?
Which is like Jaws, but on land, because an earthquake happened and a giant shark came out of the ground.
I got to say, too, when we were doing Murder Basement, my Netflix instant queue and recommends got all sorts of screwy.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing
mine's
stuff
awful.
I've seen so many movies on there going, what is this? And I think Ticked Off Trannies with Knives was one of them.
It is ridiculous.
Well, if you feel like being ridiculous and getting a jump start on the new Murder Basement that's coming out at some point this year,
yes,
then check out Ticked Off Trannies with Knives on Netflix. Yes. I can't even say that seriously. My recommend's actually a little more dark. Maybe
more
not.
Dark?
Maybe not.
This is Chicks with Dicks and Knives. Come on, Bob.
I guess
you're darker than that.
I guess you're right. Mine's not as dark, but still pretty dark. A show came out not too long ago starring Mr. Kevin Bacon called The Following. I recently watched, and I don't normally do this, but I watched a couple episodes so far of The Following. I'm not saying of The Following. It's actually called The Following. And it is really, really good. I've seen it. I've been watching it on Hulu. It looks up to date on Hulu. Wow. Kevin Bacon plays a great character. The basic story is Kevin Bacon's a retired field agent who caught this guy that was killing like 14 college schoolgirls, taking out their eyeballs and like making art out of them kind of thing. He was a huge Edgar Allan Poe fan. Escapes from prison. Kills a couple more people, turns himself in, and you find out that he's got people doing the work for him. He's got a following. He gets so into people's heads that now they're trying to solve murders before they happen of people that are doing the stuff for this guy who's in prison now.
The thing I like about that show,
for me, Lou.
I won't spoil much beyond what's kind of in the first episode, is so far just about anybody can die in the show.
Absolutely.
They introduce you a character and you'll be like, oh, I know that actor. They were in this TV show, and this TV show, or this movie. They won't kill them off, and then, bam, they're dead.
Yeah, then they're dead.
And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So they signed on for 3 episodes then, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And it's nuts because it's a crime show, but it has the feeling of a suspense movie almost. You know what I mean? It's very, I don't know the word to describe it. It's a little dark, but it's very intelligent, I guess is the right way to do it. And it looks like it's going to be a great crime show. I don't normally recommend something after watching like 1.5-2 episodes, but this is good.
As someone that's seen up to what's airing now,
don't spoil it.
The basic premise is the guy that's the cult leader, so-called cult leader that they're all killing for, he just tells Kevin Bacon that, you know, these are all chapters in my book.
Yeah.
And it feels like each episode is the chapter of his story. And you don't see that really well done in TV very often.
But this does it. It does it for you? Like, this, you've seen all the ones up to date. Is it still good?
It's very good.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I'm going to stick with my recommends then. I'm not going to switch over to Kicked Off Trainees with Knives.
Oh, come on. It's awesome.
Lou Page. Side
note, my allergy just caused my right ear to start ringing.
Oh, that's not good. I've actually been playing stuff into your speakers.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I know. Lou Page also has a recommends for us this week. Lou, what are you recommending everyone?
I'm recommending that if you can get your hands on a copy, and I think Amazon has it on sale right now, try Dead Space 3.
I want to play it so bad.
I know some people have had middling reviews because it's a little more action-y than the first two, but it fits the story that they're telling.
Right. I've heard what you're talking about. It's a lot less scary, a lot more action.
Right. But the sci-fi, I liked the first Dead Space and the second Dead Space, and they were spooky, but I've played so many survival horror games, I don't really get the, oh my god, I'm afraid to play this game anymore. I'm immune to it now.
I played both of them. The first one scared the crap out of me at the end.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Literally made me jump off my couch and throw my controller. I was done. I was done with that. I did not want any part of anything to do with that.
It's not often a video game can do that to you, too. But I know what part you're talking about, and I did the same exact thing. Like,
it's like, screw this game. I'm done. Yeah, I cannot do this.
I beat it at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, I was getting ready for bed, and it was like the credits finished rolling, and it does what it does at the end. And I went, okay, I don't know if I can go to bed now.
Yeah.
And even the second one was pretty damn creepy, too.
The second one was creepy with all the cult stuff that was in. Like, all the super religious cult stuff. I was like, all right, this is creepy.
Yeah, and I remember.
Third one has a more Aliens vibe.
Yeah.
Nice.
I own it. I have not cracked it open yet. I was going to purchase it on Steam until I realized Steam does not offer it.
It's in Origins only because of EA.
Yeah. Now, is it true that if you play co-op, that the other player sees things that you don't see?
Yes.
I would say Bob mentioned that before, and I hadn't heard anything else about that. So, like, you could be walking around, and the person you're playing with sees a bunch of, like, bad guys, and you don't?
Yes. Like, The basic idea is Isaac, once again, who's the hero of Dead Space, gets swindled into having to help somebody do something to do with the markers again. And he's in the beginning, he's kind of done it against his will, and he's given a partner.
Oh.
And when you do the co-op stuff, the partner is the soldier guy that's with Isaac. And so Isaac doesn't really see the crazy stuff anymore. He's kind of immune to it. But the other guy has never been exposed to a marker, so he sees the crazy stuff.
So if you play co-op, you want to play that character.
Yes. I played through it single player the first time, and they do a really good job of cutting him in and out.
Yeah.
Without needing him.
Even
in single player?
Cool.
I do like that Isaac's character was essentially a janitor in the first game, and now he's like this superhero.
I know, right?
He was like, I'm the maintenance guy. I'm coming to weld some stuff.
Without spoiling too much, there is a reoccurring villain, and my favorite line from that villain is at one point, he's tried to kill Isaac at least twice, if not three times, and the best line is, he goes, "Why don't you just die? You can't seem to die." And you're like, uh-huh.
Yeah. The one thing that always bugged me about Dead Space is the guy is an engineer, yet he's in, like, some sort of crazy, crazy, crazy armored suit.
Well, that was his armored suit in the original one. It was the suit he used to do, like, welding and stuff. And then he got a military-grade version of it, and they just went from there.
Yeah, and it was funny, too, because they showed pictures from, like, the first game to now and, like, how the suits changed and how, the first one was almost looked like an engineer type of suit, and, like, then going to the military grade and going from to the third one, it's like, wow, I don't remember Dead Space looking like that, the original one, but
right.
I do remember peeing my pants playing it.
Right.
So,
the one thing they do, since you're talking about suits, I will say that's cool about... Yes, doo-doo.
<says doo-doo>.
You can hear me. Lou, you said doo-doo.
Yep. But the one thing I will say that they did really well with this one is instead of having to buy suits and upgrade the new suits and each suit doing something different, all the suits in this game seem to be mostly cosmetic.
Good. That was the worst part about that game. Because you want to upgrade your guns. You don't want to waste your upgrades on the suit.
You can upgrade your suit still. Like, there is a thing that increases your air, your health, and all of that. But it carries over to every suit.
That's
and good. The suits don't have specific things. In Dead Space 2, they did a situation where if you were wearing the police suit, any assault rifle did extra damage, and any engineering weapon did less damage. And so there was a balance. Right. They took all that stuff out.
Well, that's good. They don't need that in there anyway. So, Dead Space 3 is what Lou recommends. What do you have it for, Xbox 360?
I have it for 360.
Me too. We'll have to play co-op sometime, and you get to play the scary guy.
Sounds good.
All right, let's go into my new favorite part of the show, the top 10 list.
5, 4, 3.
The top 10.
Every week, Rick Piven picks a top 10 list that I'm not allowed to read, and this week Lou wasn't either until right now.
Oh, I can read now?
Yes, you can open the link.
Well, you can't read ahead. You have to go in number order with me.
Yes, yeah.
You that sounds fine. Ahead.
And if you do, you laugh too much.
So this week's top 10 is the 10 craziest things you can buy in China.
And looking at number 10, I'm really excited about this list.
If that's number 10, I'm afraid of where it's going.
Number 10, you can buy live crabs from vending machines. In 2010, the Twin Lakes Crab Company, a Chinese crab supplier, decided that sometimes the grocery store just isn't convenient enough, so they built a vending machine that dispenses live crabs to be installed at subway stations in the city of Nanjing.
So picture, I'm guessing crab is really popular in China?
It says that the crabs are kept at a constant 5 degrees, which is cold enough to put them in temporary stasis, but not so cold that it kills them. They're putting them in... It's Futurama.
They're cryogenically
freezing crabs.
The worst part would be to get one before you get on the subway, and then it eventually thaws out and starts pinching you.
It says that they sell for the equivalent of $2.
You could buy... That buys a soda in the U.S. Like, you could get a live crab?
Yeah.
That's crazy. For $2.
Yeah. All right. Number 9, Panda Tea.
What? Panda
Tea is a drink made of panda poop.
Why?
It's the most expensive tea in the world. One dried kilo of tea will run you about $77,000.
Oh my god.
Want to drink it? The theory is that pandas really only use 30% of bamboo they eat, eliminating the rest of the unprocessed bamboo in their fecal matter. That among other nutrients, bamboo contains antioxidants that could prevent cancer. So panda tea is marketed as an anti-cancer tonic and weight loss aid.
Can I say that I'm not really surprised? Because, I mean, I know people do have tea that's made out of monkey poop.
What?
What?
No.
Yeah, there's a kind of tea that monkeys pick. They eat it, and then they poop it, and the people collect the poop and make a tea out of it.
Blue, what are you doing?
I drink green tea. That's made of leaves. That's it.
I'll stick with the preferred method. Holy crap. I'll stick
with the standardized tea.
Yeah. Oh, panda poop. That's gross.
Number 8. Food prepared, cooked, and served by robots.
Now this is interesting.
From noodles to spicy chicken, everything tastes better when it's prepared by a cold, metallic dicing hooks of a robot. This isn't just one isolated example either. It's 3 isolated examples showing a growing trend of robotic food service. So in 2011, they opened 3 restaurants that food is served by robots.
That's crazy. You can buy them. Oh, I guess if you're a restaurant owner, you'd want to buy it.
One robot can wash a dirty pot, combine the ingredients, cook the dish, and have it finished and order in the plate in only 3 minutes.
Really?
Can I say that in this photo, the robots look really angry. I wouldn't want them to be making my food. I'd be afraid a knife would come flying at me.
What's that show that's like Power Rangers? It's one
Ultraman?
Guy. Ultraman! He looks just like Ultraman.
Oh my god, he does look like Ultraman.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and Lou's right. They do look pretty upset. Probably because they're robots and they've been forced to make food.
Number 7. Oh, we thought it could only happen to Spaceballs. Number 7 is canned air.
You gotta be kidding me.
If you want to breathe, if you want a breath of fresh air in China, it's gonna cost you about 5 yen. That's how much Chen Gongbio is selling his new line of canned air for, which is literally a soda can filled with air.
Come on.
For the purest air, you can pick up a flavor called Pristine Tibet.
Made of panda poop.
And if you're feeling nostalgic, you can buy Revolutionary Yan or Post-Industrial Taiwan flavored air.
Wow. Lame. Wow.
I don't know what to say. Have they not heard of gas masks?
Well, they're already all wearing respirators over there because the air is so terrible.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what this guy's playing on.
Canned air. You gotta be kidding me.
Number 6, traffic jam stand-ins.
Now this.
With 1.3 billion people, it's not surprising that China sometimes has some pretty long traffic jams, sometimes lasting for weeks.
No, what?
What?
But a few entrepreneurs have turned lemons into Chinese version of lemonade by offering a service that provides a person who will actually sit in your car for you while you're stuck in traffic. So like, look, I really don't want to wait in this traffic. Can you just chill out in my car and call me when you're down the road and now I have to walk?
Right. Now I need to take a taxi and I'm stuck in traffic again. Now we got to hire another guy.
I'm going to ask a really dumb question here.
All right, we do that here.
If you're stuck in traffic and traffic is a week, why didn't you just walk where you're going because you get there faster?
Oh, there's sidewalk traffic too.
Because people are dumb.
That's crazy that... Well, A, it's crazy that the traffic lasts for weeks. B, it's crazy that you could hire a stand-in.
This is bad. This is awesome. It works like this. If you find yourself stuck in a gridlock, you can call the service, tell them where you are, and wait for two men to arrive on a motorcycle. The stand-in will sit in your car, and the motorcycle driver will take you anywhere you need to go. The service is mostly offered around Huang in central China, which typically has some of the worst traffic in the country.
That's so funny.
So be like, all right, this dude's going to sit in your car. I'll take you where you need to go.
So why don't you just call him to begin with and ride around on his motorcycle?
Don't leave vehicles in your car.
Yeah.
Because we will steal them.
I guess so. And I by accident scroll to number 5 and I'm...
Number 5. Wharf Tours. The Kingdom of Little... Sort of like a cross between a theme park and the Shire. Yunnan Province. It encompasses 13,000 acres set aside to build a miniature world that would be populated exclusively by dwarfs and open for tours like a safari.
Oh, God.
Don't bother reading this sentence again. It's even more offensive the second
that's
time.
Weird, 'cause that's what I was just thinking. Oh, you get it. We just need to skip that one.
Number 4, Obama fried chicken.
Well, that one's even worse.
What?
From morbidly ambiguous dwarfism to vaguely racist copyright infringement, China truly is it all. In 2011, a businessman in Beijing opened China's first UFC, Obama Fried Chicken.
Oh my god!
Entering the logo to complete with the cartoonishly grinning caricature of Barack Obama and sells fried chicken.
He's got a grin on his face.
His I have to scroll so away because I can't stop laughing.
His face is so happy.
Oh, Obama fried chicken.
He looks so...
It doesn't even make sense. And that is so racist, China.
Apparently, believe it or not, this isn't actually the first Obama fried chicken to grace the planet. Or
really?
The first time China has used Obama's image to sell chicken. The first OFC opened in Brooklyn in 2009. But closed down a short time later, and in a completely unrelated stunt, the official KFC in China released an ad in 2011 which features an actor who looks like Obama giving a speech before being crushed by a giant chicken sandwich.
Oh my god.
That has to be on the internet somewhere, and I have to find it.
Look it up. Tune in next week. Talk about Obama fried chicken.
Right.
Number 3, live turtle key rings.
Why? Why would you
use... Arguably one of the oddest things you could buy in China is a tiny live animal on a keychain. I'm done talking about this. It's little bags with lizards and turtles in them that you put on a keychain. And apparently, the liquid feeds them for up to 3 or 4 months, and then they die because they're living in a bag.
Yeah.
Where is the animal rights people when you need one?
Where's PETA in China?
They actually, it says here that there's several animal welfare services like publicly outcrying about this, but there's supposed to be good luck.
after they drink all the liquid that keeps them alive, they're going to be dead because it's a bag. And where do they go to the bathroom? They just poop in the water that they live in this bag.
Oh, God.
Then they eat it and poop it again.
And then they make tea out of it.
It's so gross. Number two, white people.
What? You can buy white people?
You can rent them.
At the risk of sidestepping premise for a second here, you can actually buy white people in China.
But oh, I'm never going to China.
Them, which is close enough. Chinese businessmen will often rent white actors to stand beside them at important events. Wow. And, well, that's about it.
Wow. They just stay.
They're just like, what's up? I'm an old white dude. I got money. Whatever.
I've seen...
Our Zatkin, the requirements of these jobs are simple. Be white. Do not speak any Chinese or really speak at all unless asked. Pretend like you just got off an airplane yesterday.
It's funny.
I have a suit. You think I could do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as you meet their number one requirement, be white.
You know what's funny too is like I've seen pictures of like Chinese newspapers with people saying, "Hey, I made it in the Chinese newspaper," and it's four white guys walking down a street, and they called them the stars of Hangover, the movie The Hangover, because it was just four white guys walking in a street. They looked nothing like the guys from The Hangover, but apparently you could just get away with anything in China when you're white.
Apparently.
Well, you just have to be white.
Oh, whoa, number one. Does not need to happen.
Number one, tea picked by the mouth of a virgin. Here's a fun sentence. The Huada Tea Plantation in province hires virgins or seek up breasts to pick tea by grabbing the leaves with their lips and then dropping them into a wicker basket nestled between their breasts.
I was going to ask why they have to be sea cups, I guess, in order to put that wicker basket in there.
The women could not touch the leaves or the basket with their hands, and in addition to specifically requesting C-cup breasts, the plantations also require that the women have no visible scars or wounds. According to the spokesperson for the company, this odd requirement comes from a legend about how the tea used to be picked by the mouths of fairies. With this method, the tea is supposed to be infused with the fertility and purity of virgins, which is then passed on by the person who drinks the tea.
I'd rather drink panda tea.
So what have we learned from this list? Don't drink panda tea. Obama sells chicken. Live animals die in bags. And be white.
And drink tea by the mouth of a sea-cupped virgin. That, China, you scare me. I can't even lie.
It's truly frightening.
Oh, my God. Well, Rick, thanks for that interesting feature.
Not a problem.
Probably one of the best lists we've had so far.
Just remember to be white.
I'm trying. I'm really trying hard. Well, before we get into the wrap-up, we do have a couple emails we'll read here towards the end of the show. I will read the first one. This is from Aaron in Wisconsin, and he writes, "Hey guys, love the show, and I'm really looking forward to the Fanboys XL rap song." Yeah, so are we. Yeah. In the meantime, I wanted to ask you a question. If you could star in your own movie, what movie would it be? Now, I don't know if he means in a movie that's already out or our own movie, or...
I think it would just be in our own movie.
Huh. I'd gotta go with Bob and Rick Lost in Time.
Right? Misadventures of Bob and Rick Yeah. Lost in Time.
I don't know. Lou, do you have any ideas of your own movie? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
No. I can't picture myself in any movie.
You could play a cameo in The Misadventures of Bob and Rick.
Yeah. That sounds like a plan.
All right. You can even be Bigfoot if you wanted to.
Ooh.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for season two, Bob.
Get over here!
The hunt for Bigfoot and Jeff.
And Jeff. Yeah. The good days. Good days. Rick, you want to read the second email we have?
Yeah. We also have an email from Ian in Montreal.
And I would like to state, too, before you read the email, I don't know what happened, but we just took over Canada in downloads. We've had more downloads in the Canadian region than we did the U.S. region last week.
I would like to thank Ryan Murphy for that.
Yeah, it's got to be all him downloading on all sorts of devices. But
right, he's got 50,000 computers in his house, and he's just downloading Fanboys on all of them.
So thank you, Ryan Murphy, for that. I just thought that was crazy. I was like, hey, hi, Canada, how are you?
Don't listen to Zombies Ate My Podcast, because we make fun of Canadians. Yeah. Well, mainly Ryan.
Yeah, he doesn't count.
Actually, go listen to the show. It's funny. We make fun of Ryan a lot.
We do. Yeah. Thank you, Canadian listeners, and welcome aboard, I guess, eh?
Oh, eh?
We just lost him.
I like that Canada looks like America's hat, eh?
All right, why don't you read the email?
Your boots? Emails from Ian from Montreal. Hello, guys, eh? I can't do it. Just started listening back around episode 29, and this podcast is getting to be one of the ones I look forward to hearing when it comes out. I wanted to provide you guys with my own gross fact.
Oh, boy.
Step outside and smell the roses, eh? On a daily average, you will inhale 1 liter of others' anal gases.
Oh, God.
Makes sense.
I don't know.
Oh, God.
So, just by the sheer fact that
farts.
Just by going outside alone, you're inhaling 1 liter's worth of anal gases? Or do you have to be smelling roses?
Farts everywhere.
Oh, I've contributed to that problem.
I think we all have.
Farts.
Oh, man, no wonder why my belly button smells.
Exactly.
Well, Ian, thank you for the email, I guess. And I got a sneeze. So, Rick, why don't you get into the wrap-up of the show?
All right. If you want to find us on the interwebs, you can find us at fxl.com. That music is really loud, Bob.
Yeah, it also cut you out, so we're not going to play it this time.
Nice. All right. Take two.
Electric Boogaloo.
If you want to find us on the interwebs, you can find us at fxlnetwork.com/donate if you want to give us some money, and we'll get you one of them fancy turtles in a bag that's going to dine them. You can find us on Twitter at fxlnetwork. You can find Bob at BobberF. You can find me at Rick Piven. And you can find our special guest, Lou Page, at Busy Zombie Lord. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fxlnetwork. You can email the show at fanboysxlpodcast@gmail.com. Send us, a top 10 list or a made-up movie idea or, just anything you want us to talk about. We'll read it on the show.
Even your own gross fact, I guess.
Yeah, we did it today. Head on over to iTunes, hit subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read that on the show, too. Maybe at some point, Bob will do another contest and give something away. That cheap bastard. So that's all I got. You got anything, Lou, that you want to pimp out before we decide to close this down for the day?
No, all I'll say is if you want to see all the things I'm up to, follow me on Twitter, Busy Zombie Lord.
Nice.
Busy Zombie Lord. Check out all his works online and check out Zombies Ate My Podcast for more of Lou Page. But for myself and for the Busy Zombie Lord and Rick Piven, thank you for listening.
Stay classy and be white.
God. I don't know if I should keep that in or not. It would sound good out of context, though.
Yes, it would.
Be white.
Be white. Stay classy.
Stay classy.
Be white.
Be white.
Be merry, what?